Oh, baby, it's a special drop of the second half of my sit-down with my boy, the K-Man, Kunzi, Marcus, Mr. Mark Kunzman of the Trapper Keeper Confessions. I hope you're subscribing to him, and I hope you've gone to my YouTube channel to watch my special, Me Being Me, for free. If you watch Cord and you saw some new stuff, this is some old stuff, I know. Just go watch it, rate it, subscribe it, share it on Facebook, share it on Instamail? Come on, Jay. Email, Instagram, wherever you need to do it, do it. I love you guys for listening. Enjoy the second half. Young Knox. Who's Knox?
Who's Knox, Jay?
Probably something we bonded over when we first met. Knox is Knox Overstreet from...
The point, Jay, is she was thinking of me.
She was thinking about me. From my favorite, one of my favorite movies of all time, probably top five, Dead Poets Society, Robin Williams. Amazing, awesome movie. Uncle Walt.
Exercising the right not to march. Thank you, Mr. Dalton. You've just proven my point.
So... Okay, there's so many things here with this, but before we do, the Knox. Remember you told me, back to your wedding, you said what? If you ever had a band...
I have said to you over the years, if I ever had a band, which I always secretly wanted, I would call it the Knox Overstreet. No, the name didn't exist online. I thought it was so clever. If you knew, you knew.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I mentioned that to you once.
And then what did I do?
You gave me this. You gave me two. Thank you. Shirts. It's
I
set,
have them designed.
It's very soft. That's what I love. It's very soft. It says the Knox Overstreet. It's got some instruments and piano.
Do you know how many shirts I made?
10.
No. 4. You got 2. I got 1. And who got the other one?
Jay Gallagher, dude.
Jay Gallagher.
Dude, I thank you. I wear it all the time.
This is the shirt.
Oh, dude, I brought mine here. It's so dope.
That's the shirt. The Knox Overstreet. You piano.
It's so soft.
It's such a great
dude, you took the time. Oh, it's lovely.
Friend designed it. My buddy Dominic.
Dominic.
You never worked with Dominic, did
no,
you?
But Dominic, thank you because and thank you, dude. I love it. So anyway, that is the poem.
So where are you skiing? Where were you?
We were in Aspen.
Aspen, Colorado.
Good Lord. Just me wandering around waiting for like someone
were
to talk to me.
Then?
No,
were you
I was just wandering. No.
You didn't smoke cigarettes then?
No.
How old were you when you started smoking cigarettes?
End of high school.
Really?
Thinking
I thought
it was
you
cool.
smoked in high school.
No, but walking around going like, just thinking somehow like I'm going to meet a girl and we're going to have this romantic thing and walk around and outdoor fires and maybe con someone into getting us a drink. And so like, oh no, but it's just not happening. Like I was a martyr to myself. Like,
but so how often were you writing? So you would, this is how much you were into it. You would go for a walk and you'd come home and you'd write a poem about it.
Yeah, off to, at night, and just thinking about like it's like this self-deprecation. Like I gotta put it down.
I mean, I think it's pretty good. Except, why'd you start rhyming up top and then you abandoned it?
I have no idea. This is one of the rare poems I remember where it was because it says Ritzy Town, and I could put the date to it, and I can go, oh, yeah. That's exactly where it was. Sometimes it rhymes. Most of the time they rhyme,
but you're
which
setting
ruins
goals.
It.
That's what I'm saying. It's the end of the year, and you're looking forward. You're saying, somehow, inevitably, you will find your voice. Sometime, far off, in the not-too-distant future, like next year.
There is
so
hope.
Fear not, young Knox.
Yes, there is hope. Read one more because the other ones are not as lovely.
Should I read the no date?
I think. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Let's see the date on the other one. January 25th, 1993. So not too far after that. Let's see if you've made any progress in yourself. Here we go.
Thank you, doctor.
I'm stranded in a place I can't leave, and I grab you by the sleeve and say, friend, take me home. And you won't let me go because I refuse to tell you why. But if you don't already know, then I must remain silent. For I took a vow, and although I'm bursting inside because I need to talk now, I cannot say a word. And please, don't believe what you've heard. Because it's shit unless it comes from my mouth directly. I've learned that all too well and have certainly paid the price for my mistakes. And because I gave my word, I'm dying inside for two reasons. One, because my heart is fucking dead.
Yeah.
And two, because I'm gathering thoughts in my head that I might normally tell you, but I can't today because she means that much to me now. What the fuck are you even talking about?
That is more in line of what these poems are about.
What are you talking
about? What is
about?
Going on?
What did you do that was so bad?
I do not know.
Did you cheat on a girl?
I have, but I don't know. What vow couldn't I say? Part of me thinks when I read it, there was a song by Billy Joel called Code of Silence.
Are you a bigger Billy Joel fan or Bruce Springsteen?
Now, Bruce Springsteen. My whole life, Billy Joel.
Yeah.
I've gone to grown to appreciate.
You've gotten into Billy Joel.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, aren't we just born liking Billy Joel?
No, my sister loved Billy Joel as a kid.
Your sister is a wise woman, yes. Yeah. He just hasn't put enough material. I love him. He is my all-time favorite.
They're both, though, the thing that's beautiful.
Same age?
They're both storytellers. All their songs are straight-up stories.
Amazing.
Amazing. Except none of Bruce Springsteen's are real.
And Allentown is not real. It's just Bethlehem. Rhymed better
I know.
Than Levitt.
Yeah. I thought it was Bethlehem, no? You were gonna say
Could be. They were not happy.
I'm bursting inside because I need to talk now. I cannot say a word. But where was this all coming from? What was all this drama?
Dude, there was such drama. My whole life, I wanted like the
you
want affection.
To catch you want to live an adventurous life, no?
No, because he was. I love that movie. By the way, love the
I
book.
I know you create adventures everywhere you go.
Yes.
This is you being like, life is too boring. I need something more exciting.
Well, no, this at the time. No, this is more just me like overly dramatic about something, wanting this girl's attention. I pined for a lot of girls.
Did you ever have a high school girlfriend?
Yeah, but not like steady mm-hmm. for like months. Not like I think you dated girls for like years.
Yeah, well, I had one high school girlfriend.
No, I did not. I dated years. Periodically and then wanted and then wrote poetry about it because I couldn't get her because I wanted her to talk to me. I was like, no, you talk to me.
And please don't believe what you've heard because it's shit.
It's shit.
Unless it comes from my mouth directly. I've learned that all too well and have certainly paid the price for my mistakes.
Yeah, because I was, I was crucified. That's the thing. Do you know me? It's so overly dramatic. However, in my defense, this was only for me. So whatever I thought, I was like, yeah, man. Because I wanted it to sound.
So like you were almost torturing yourself within this stuff? One, I'm dying inside for two reasons. One. Because my heart is
fucking dead.
What are you even talking about?
I was playing
about?
Tennis and making prank phone calls.
But your
riding
heart
around
is
on my bike.
Dead.
Yeah.
Fucking going to ski trips to Aspen, you fuck.
Oh, man.
And two,
let me tell
I'm
you,
hold,
here's
my
favorite
head.
Jay Larson. Can I do a Jay Larson impression?
I'm dying for two reasons. Because I'm gathering thoughts in my head. What are you dying for?
Can I do my favorite Jay Larson impression?
Yeah, of course.
Because I love your podcast, I just got to say.
Yeah.
And you are very vulnerable in it. That's the thing about doing a podcast like this, especially when you do solo episodes.
Yeah. Well, same with you. I mean, if you're going through
No, hold on. It's unbelievably difficult. But what I love is there's this one you're like, let me tell you something. You're not having a hot apple cider on a fall day. What are you doing? You're fucking dead inside. All right? But not just hot apple cider. You got to take it from the tree. And if you're not growing a tree in your backyard with an apple, all right? Cutting it up. What are you doing?
That's a very good point. Everyone should be growing.
Dude, if you had salt on your table growing up, only rich kids had salt on their table. Single mom, four kids, you don't have salt on your table. What are you kidding me? We can't afford salt. Never had salt.
Do you know inside my cabinet with my spice cabinet in the kitchen, there's a card that my Aunt Val gave me. And it's a Swedish proverb, and it's something, salt comes from Saul. Do you know why the saying, you're worth your salt? Do you know what that comes from?
Because that was currency.
Because salt was what you would preserve vegetables with. There was no freezing. So salt was worth so much because you could have food, and only rich people had salt.
I got it.
And you're right.
Well, so, I love that you have a card like that. Can I just say something?
Yes.
I love this whole setup.
I love that you
I thought that was a lacrosse pocket.
Oh no, that's the bike seat.
That's what I always
you
thought
know what
it
that's
was.
From? That's from no. The Traveler, bro. That me and Josh mainly redid at his place. That's the bike seat from the bike that Josh and I redid. All right, so when I lived in the condemned house in Venice, I wrote a lot of poetry.
Love that
myself.
House. You just write it on the walls.
I would.
Counting Crows lyrics too.
Yep. All right, where's the one that I had?
God, I've known you for a long time, Jay Lawson.
I know, man. Oh, here it is. Okay.
Can I read it?
Yeah, of course. You're going to read it. It's more like a spoken word, so just run with it. There's no rhyming. It's called Sunday Afternoon.
Sunday afternoon, rain. Rain down on me, the sorrow. What patience you bring and softness you emanate. Falling continuously for hours. No speed ever changing. Oh, man.
Oh, son of bitch.
We lost power, dude.
So you see, you can't see this, but this is a dent right here.
Oh, Dude, I was just getting into it. I was finding my voice. Sunday afternoon, rain. Rain down on me the sorrow. What patience you bring and softness you emanate. Falling continually for hours, no speed ever changing. You stand firm with dignity, and I am entwined with you for life. You come only the second month, as if to wash away us. Us! We! Standing in the depths of the winter rain, wondering where our short month went. Our special time is gone. Now! This drenched earth, controlled by our hands for a moment, will swell with water, and in will swim the fish. I want to run out.
That's a Pisces
into
reference.
That blue car and drive. I want to drive back across the country to chase down the sun. I want to reach the sunrise before the sun does. Ooh, I like that line. Feel life. Feel love. Be the one thing that is moving at this moment, at this eternity. Be the rain falling and know that each drop comes from the soul of God and we are truly safe. We are cared for and watched and every action is good and we love and we know fruit will grow from the breasts of love. This is so much better on the other side. Hold on. The children walk the way of my street. Each one bundled up in clothes, hunchbacked. Men with hollow heavy hats from the other side of Lincoln. Not far from the Lincoln. Drop that penny, sir. I will not have you touch our money. These men would feel and be felt, and no man that hasn't felt like the stupid Mexican cannot know. There's pride in America. There's rhythm in America. There is an energy in America. We will rage out and not let the month go by, not let the moment go by, the chance, the idea, the vision. You exist. It exists. We exist. I cannot say the feeling. I cannot write the feeling. I cannot write the pride, but I can feel the pride, and my soul is warmed. Wow. Questions.
Yes.
Where is Lincoln? Lincoln Boulevard?
Lincoln Boulevard. This is when I was living in the condemned house.
See, I'm reading this, and I'm imagining you wanting to drive back east.
Yes.
What's that drop that penny, sir? I won't. Is that Oliver Twist? Great Expectations?
No, what's it go? Drop that penny, sir, what?
Drop that penny, sir. I will not have you touch our money.
Basically, what I was doing is when I'm living in that condemned house, there was a lot of Mexican people in my neighborhood. And I would see them, and I would think about how white people were depicting them. You know what I'm saying? And I was looking at them like relating to them. And I said, if you've never felt like people calling them stupid, not me calling them stupid Mexican, if you never felt like less than or that you didn't belong, then you couldn't understand what I was feeling at that time. Because a lot of the time, you know, I felt less than, and I was looking at them now in my neighborhood and me living in this condemned house and looking at them and appreciating how much pride they had. They were always with their kids. Family is so important.
Quinceañera.
Yeah, it's so important. And I don't know what the divorce rate is, but I can't imagine it's high. Maybe it is, but I always see families together, and I would take pride in seeing Mexican people in my neighborhood as a family and, you know, moving forward.
I appreciate that. Can't we say, though, every culture appreciates family? If what you're saying is you often would see large groups of Mexican families together, that is different. But I take issue where it's like, oh, man, they love their family. Every culture loves their family, don't they? Is there a culture who's like, we don't love anyone except...
All I know is that every time I go to this Mexican restaurant with the kids,
yeah,
there has never been a time that someone there doesn't pat my kid on the head or go up and tickle him or something. Like, I don't know. I just feel like Mexican culture family is like, they put it above everything else.
Yeah. I mean, I love Mexican. Really no. I love Mexican culture. I just don't think it's just specific to them. But let's get back to this.
I think we all have
fruit.
Sure.
Will grow from the breasts of love. I like that.
I don't know what it was.
You are specific. There's a lot of feeling in this.
You realize this is our
hunchbacked
Dead Poet Society right now. We're in the cave.
Damn it, Nwanda. You're right. We're holy hell.
And we're doing reading. We're reading our poetry. I mean, what do we?
Wow. I don't know, because what's sadder is there's no like. I thought it was, Dalton was supposed to be closed, to women.
we would.
Wow, Jay. No, that's a deep. Listen, it's really. Because I'm so used to, I'm so used to people ripping on my poetry, it's difficult to read it and not do that. But it's a good poem. See, I respect someone putting down on paper these feelings, and it's filled with alliteration. There's something going on there.
Yeah, I respect anytime anyone takes the time to take their feelings and try and express it in an art form. You know what I mean? That's why I do a bit about people complaining about a shitty play. Well, shut up. Who cares if it's a shitty play? They rehearsed, somebody did costumes, they got a place, they printed tickets. It's not a waste of your time. It just wasn't the best.
Do you remember the play that I did out here?
I sure do. I sure do. It was the crucifixion of...
Terrence McNally's... oh, man, I can't remember the name right now. But it was about... which
Andrew,
even worse.
What was the...
The kid in Idaho...
No, it was Texas, wasn't it? Corpus Christi.
Corpus Christi, Texas. And what it was Christopher, not Christopher McAuliffe, that's Into the Wild. The kid who years ago lived in Idaho or Wyoming, and he was gay, and they left him for dead.
Yeah. They didn't leave him for dead. They fucking hung him up, beat him, and then left him for dead.
Yes, they beat the hell out of him because he was
gay.
And Terrence McNally wrote this play, this controversial play about it.
Yeah.
It was the first time it was performed in
Corpus
in
Christi.
L.A.
Wasn't it called
Corpus Christi?
Like
and I was. It was a musical, and what it supposes is that this kid
controversial musical
is Jesus, obviously because of the pose he was left in, right?
Yeah.
And I played Judas.
Yeah.
And I remember doing like push-ups beforehand because I'm in like a tank top.
Weren't you the only straight guy in the play?
I was, and they were like, "Wait." Because I love musicals.
Yeah,
you love theater. I love Good or Bad, whatever. I too respect it.
Singing is a cathartic thing.
Yeah, we just took our kids to like our first family real show. It's a Little Shop of Horrors at our theater in our town. And it was awesome. They made it through most of it. Remy, at a certain point, was like at the end, just sprawled out on us. But you want to do it. You want it to be a habit, right?
Of course.
What I think you feel the same way.
We've done I think five plays we've taken them to. And we're taking him to a puppet show for Halloween at Bob Baker's, which is going to be dope. We took him to an hour and a half play.
Yeah.
Hour and a half.
With an intermission, right.
Intermission. They didn't even want to leave their seats. They're like, can we just sit here?
You got to set it up. It's why, like, well, why do you take your kids to antique stores? I don't know. They're going to have memories of it. And hopefully they'll appreciate, like, look back on it fondly or make fun of it, which is great. Nonetheless, I did this play. It was cast as Judas. Everyone was gay, but I mentioned the musicals because I've seen a lot of musicals. I love music, songs from musicals. I sing them in my head all the time. And we would sing them, and they're like, dude, how are you not gay? And I'm like, dude, screw you, man. I just love the music, bro. I did it all in high school and stuff. You want to sing
music, bro? I wrote poetry throughout high school.
You want to sing Damn Yankees? I was in poetry club. But I had to kiss. This is my first kiss of a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember the guy, nice guy. But when we would kiss, it was like on a beach, and it was very close to the stage. And I just remember him when we kissed, he went, every time, he would go, ah. And you came. I remember my...
literally.
Our friend... you attended.
Of course.
And
anytime any one of my friends is doing anything, I try to go. If my friends have a TV show, I watch it. If they're putting something up, I go to. I try to support
as much as I can. And then our friend Stuart came, and he was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm in this place. Like, you didn't tell me. I'm like, I didn't really tell a lot of people. And what really happened was there were two casts, and the first cast, because it was just poorly done, they like all dropped out.
They walked.
Yeah, so we were there, and we did it all. I remember Stuart showed up, and afterwards you guys were waiting outside, and he's like, what the fuck was that? Yeah, that was a that was my theater in Los Angeles. Thanks for showing up, buddy.
Speaking of which, so we're going to tell the China story, but before we do, we did an independent horror movie, and in doing that, they gave you prosthetics?
I was killed. This is basically like a girl gets revenge, like the nerdy girl. She's all that, meets Shallow Grave, and she takes revenge, and no one believes her after we, very graphically, gang rape her. Okay? This is the plot.
I never knew that.
She's the girl who is like wears glasses and is, you know, lonely and unpopular. The jocks invite her to the party, and then we roofie her.
Damn.
And then
did this movie come out anywhere?
Yeah, it won like awards for horror films. I'll give the guy credit. It was his first movie. He's a really good writer. He's done a movie like that he wrote and directed with Leah Thompson. He's legit. He just interviewed like Scorsese and stuff. He's become like a film critic. Mm-hmm. This someone gave him some money to write this slasher film. It was horrible. There was no budget. We'd shoot at Santa Monica Community College like on weekends,
yeah,
avoiding like security guards. You'd hear the planes overhead. There was not a budget. And I was like the lackey friend who was, and I would try and change the lines.
So she beat your face?
Basically, she got revenge on all of us. No one believed her. Her mom called her a whore. The guidance counselor tried to hit on her. The girlfriends of us, like, tied her up, and she gets her revenge. She invites me over to study.
What's the name of it?
Bad Reputation.
Bad Reputation. Look it up. I mean, it seems pretty relevant.
Realistic.
Now.
It's horrible, but it was wonderful. And they spent some money on makeup.
Yeah.
Because she invites me over. She, like, ties me up. I'm all excited. I'm in my boxer shorts and socks, which was my choice. That's what the character Jake would do.
Yeah.
She, like, shoves pens up my ass. She burns me. And then she gets on top of me.
And you have to do all the suffering? Like, ah.
Oh, yeah. It's so horrible. This is why I can never be in politics, because people would see a lot of this stuff. So she kills me. She takes an old book and boom, 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 boom.
Just beats your face.
And then they added in, like, the splattering later.
Yeah.
Right? But then she chops up my body and puts it in a suitcase. I'm left there tied on the bed while they're getting things ready. I, like, fall asleep. It's close to closing time on a Saturday night when bars are getting out. It's close to 1 o'clock in the morning. We finish. I'm so hating that I committed to this. I had nothing else going on, but I was so mad at how it was done. It was just not good. And they're like, dude, you need, like, solvents to get all this wax off. My face was just beat to hell and blood. Yeah. And I go, no, I'm going home. And they're like, dude, I'm telling you, you could do it here. I'll take a shower in this house. I go, no, dude, I'll do it at home. They're like, okay. So I get in my car. I had a Jeep Box Cherokee. And I'm driving down La Brea right around Saturday night. Everyone's going home. And I don't have my seatbelt on because I have wax and blood all over. And I'm leaning forward, just beat shit. And as I turn onto Venice, there's an overpass.
Yeah.
And I see these two girls in the car coming home, you know, cute. And the one girl looks over and she goes, oh my God, she gets her friend. And they look at me and I'm like, this is awesome. And she goes, are you okay? And I go, I'm fine. And then I'm sitting at the light and I just kind of go on the steering wheel and let the car run through the light into the alley.
Your car?
Yeah. Like, because there was no oncoming. It was just you're waiting for a head. It wasn't oncoming traffic, but it was underneath the bridge, and I just, like, let it roll. And they're beeping and shouting. I go, oh, I'm fine. They followed me down Venice. I mean, I don't know what it is, 5, 6 months. They followed me for a long distance, flashing, trying to come up to next to me. I'm like, I'm fine. So I'm like, this is so awesome. This is my favorite part of this film.
Yes.
So I roll into Venice to Westminster Circle, and I see this couple walking. The guy had an umbrella, and I walk up. And I push the window down and I go, excuse me, can I talk to you? And they're British, and the guy's like, sure. Oh my God. And she's like, oh my God, what happened to you? And I go, it's not important. Do you know where a hospital is, please? And they're like, we're not from here. We don't know. Can we get someone? And I go, it's too late.
Listen.
And I just roll away.
It's too late. Let me read you this quick poem. You know what I wish? I wish you were really committed to it. You just drove right into a telephone pole.
Right? That would have been better. I went home. It took like 10 showers to get it off. But what I loved about it was that, like, there's someone somewhere talking about their trip. And they're like, we were in Venice. It was quite lovely. And we saw this man who was beat with a pipe.
Yeah.
And we have no idea. I think maybe he died. Maybe he didn't.
Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't.
That's the fun. That's the experience. That's who I am. Like, that's, you don't have to get the joke. I get the joke.
Dude, trust me.
Right?
Every joke I ever make in my life is for me.
It's for you.
Yeah. But as Ralph Waldo Emerson says in Self-Reliance, when you start to look at what's true for you is true for all men, that's when you can truly achieve. So if you look at those jokes and you'd be like, oh, this joke is, I love this joke, so, excuse me, other people will love this joke. It's anything that's ever been made that people have mass enjoyed, it's because someone believed that what they thought was interesting to them would be interesting for everyone else.
Yes, but sometimes it's not. For example, and
no,
sometimes,
of course, but that's the risk you have to take.
Yes, but sometimes the risk is knowingly over the line to offensive. And we live in a culture, well, I'm okay with it, where you have to be careful of what you say.
Yeah, of course.
And in comedy, why I respect it so much is to make, you could still make an amazing joke about a sensitive topic. But if it's good enough and it's nuanced enough, it'll cut the turkey. There's a comedian.
Like Chappelle.
Yeah. There's a comedian guy, you know, who I hate because he did a joke about taking black people back to Africa on a boat. Hmm. And it was so blatant. And it's like, well, that's not even humor. He was asking black random people.
Oh, yeah.
To get, to like, we're taking you back to Africa. And it was like, it's used by hate groups.
Yeah.
To show. It's so over the line.
I don't know who it is, but
it's okay. I thought it was funny.
Yeah. You'll tell me after?
Yeah. But so there's a way to do it. So I agree with what you're saying, that putting it out there, if you think it's funny, there's a confidence in yourself.
I'm saying it in everything. I'm saying it in politics. I'm saying it in food. I'm saying in everything. Whoever decided to make a chimichurri sauce was like, this is amazing and everyone will love it. You know what I mean? And but
the confidence to go, this is,
no,
if
just,
I like
just
it.
Just have to believe it, that you, like, fuck it. This is what
right.
I like. This is what I'm going to do. And I will find, and you nowadays.
Sorry,
you,
I took it to comedy. You're absolutely
yeah,
right.
You know, it's in every
if
aspect.
You believe in it, you have to believe in it enough that you're doing it for yourself, but also that others will take to it. And that
yeah.
leads to success, no matter what road that takes you on.
Yeah, but not, I'm not even looking at that. I'm looking at more like when I think about Emerson writing those words, the way he was thinking is what I think. Is that he believes that we are all connected some way. You know what I mean? Either through the earth or through energy or whatever. So that if you believe it's true for you, there's an element of it that's true for everyone. That's what I believe.
I got you. He also said something in Self-Reliance, I remember, where he said, never be afraid to change your opinion. Have the confidence
for
to
sure.
recognize
yeah, like that.
That you may have thought one way, but to evolve.
Here's the joke. Nah, he's wrong. Let me tell you why. All right. So this is the last story. This is part of our bonus episode because I'm.
Thank you for having me, Jay Lawson.
No, you're the best, and I love you, and I'm glad you're here. How many years ago was it that you went to China? First of all, I want to say this. How old were you when you went back to business school? People usually graduate college, take a year, and then they go to business school. You.
I was 32.
You graduated college. You moved to L.A. to be an actor. You got your degree in massage therapy. You then got...
Not a Problem was
then,
the name of the
company. Then you started help fund movies at a company here. Then you moved to New Jersey and got a real
Scam.
Estate license. And yeah. you start selling real estate. I think you sold one property.
One property.
One property.
To my buddy.
Yeah, to your buddy. And what happened? Oh, tell me this. That's.
I would tell you this. So I was... Being a real estate agent, there's no salary. But
yeah.
you sell a house, you get the commission and
yeah.
all that. You have the support of the real estate agency. I was in Princeton, New Jersey. I went there thinking it would be something different, but before this, I had to get my feet wet. So I went to a real estate agency that had a good background, and they're like, great, come on board. It's a hot market, all this.
And you probably charmed them.
I did. I got my license, all these things. But it's difficult. When you grow up in a town and you stay in that town, you have all those connections from
yes.
kindergarten and stuff. So the agents had been there. They were like blue-blooded Princetonians.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Of course.
I'm this new guy there. I'm bartending at night. I'm just trying to get by. My wife is commuting into the city to go to grad school. We're in this crappy little apartment, although I loved it. And walking into town. It's a great town, Princeton. You would love it. So I finally sell my first house to my buddy Timmy
mm-hmm.
in a town over. We go to the closing. Got the mortgage broker there. I'm leading it all. It's awesome. Take all the forms back, the checks back to this old, because it's Princeton, It's like an old brownstone with a spiral staircase where you have a little office up there, and the mortgage broker, real estate agent, is hosted downstairs. There's an, like, your sitting room would be where the desk is in the back. So it's, I mean, it's over 100 years old.
Yeah.
In the back, there's an there was a door in the back. The mortgage broker who worked in-house had an office upstairs. The bathroom was upstairs. I went in, gave all my stuff to the branch manager, all excited. I went home. I bought lunch for my wife and flowers. I was very excited to go home. I was very proud. You know, she, this woman stuck with me, and like, I wanted to share this moment with her. We're eating lunch, like sandwiches, you know what I mean? Put the flowers, she cuts them, blah, blah, blah. And I get a phone call, and it's the branch manager, this lovely woman. She's like, there's been a robbery. I go, oh my God, is everyone okay? Yeah.
Can't believe. Why?
But the,
in your world, is know, there a robbery?
The mortgage broker, her purse was stolen. There's a lot of money in it. Did you see anything? Oh, I didn't see anything. No, you didn't notice anything. See any door open? The door in the back, they might have come in there. No, I didn't. You know, it's not always busy. People are out showing houses and stuff. There were a couple people in there. She's like, okay. Did you go upstairs? I'm like, I may have used the restroom, but...
And you're the new guy.
Oh, I'm the new guy.
First of all, you're the new guy everywhere. You're like, you know what I mean?
Yes. So I go. I'm like, that's weird. There's a robbery. And I was like, oh, no. You know? So we have our lunch. I go back to the office, you know, to do other stuff and look up listings and things. And a couple days later, I was going to Long Island to some seminar where you're like, confidence, like in real estate, you break a piece of wood and this stupid stuff. I'm on the way back. I get a call from the Princeton police, a detective. He's like, Mr. Kunzman? I go, yeah. He's like, this is Detective so-and-so. We're just wondering, we're following up on this break-in at your place. We're wondering if you would come in. We'd like to ask you some questions. You were there that day? Absolutely. I'm driving back. It's like, I go, we can do this tomorrow. I go, I'm actually...
I can see you right now. If you're interested, I have a two-bedroom condo on the other side of town. It's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. What's your living situation like, sir? So, Kristen was out of town. I remember this. And I go, listen, I could be there tomorrow. They're like, can you come now? I was like, actually, yeah, it's... If you don't mind being there at 8, they're like, no problem. I show up. They put me in a room with the one-way mirror. They start asking me questions. Do you, how long you work there? A couple of months. Yeah, you know, it's commission-based. Do you have a lot of savings? I'm like, not really, but okay. But I'm working at this bar. Oh, so you're working another job. And yeah, until this comes through. And okay, do you have an account at Bank of America? Yes, I do. Because we found the purse in a garbage can outside of Bank of America. And I was like, okay. Now, I have been accused, Jay, pulled over by cops, that I look high. I have bloodshot eyes. I don't get enough sleep. I don't just sit still when I'm somewhere.
Mm-hmm. First of all, not only have you probably been accused a lot in your life, you've also been what a lot in your life?
Guilty?
Yes.
Not a stealing, dude.
Not a stealing. I'm just saying you've been guilty. You know, you do stuff. You prank. You're the guy who did the prank calls. You're the guy who pulled the prank of
I see where you're going, but I don't.
The guy
I don't hurt
these
people.
Poems. Guilty.
Guilty. What else did you? Well, that's what we're trying to figure out in this podcast. Some of them are so psychotic. Like, did you kill someone? Like, is there now? We have a date and a time. Nonetheless, so they're asking me these questions, and I'm telling them, I'm like, dude, I'm getting uncomfortable. I go, what are you getting at? They're like, well, you know, you were there. You don't have much money. This is your first thing you've sold. It's a Bank of America. I'm like, dude, there's all Bank of America's all over. And the one guy had left, and then he comes in. He's like, I'm going to tell you something. I've been watching you the whole time through that mirror. I have taken courses on body language. See how you're moving back and forth. And this, and I
your
go,
your legs are out of control.
Dude, I just... Yeah, am who I am.
Yeah.
And he's like, I understand body language and you're guilty as hell. And I go, you are kidding me right now. I was freaked out.
Yeah.
I was like, you're wrong, sir. You're wrong. I would never do this. Never do it. He's like, okay. Yeah, we'll be in touch.
And you were like,
when I stole her money.
Forgive me, for my knowledge is slim. Forget my ignorance and believe in me. For now, let us be happy. For who knows how long this jocality will last. Foretell my future in your hand while we stroll through the garden green. Forever shall be ours in these few minutes that we have together. Let us sit and chat, for it has been so long since we have sat and shared a cappuccino, since we have shared our memories, our failures. Help me learn from my mistakes and my ignorance, this ignorance that leads me astray directly to you.
To your purse.
To your purse.
So, here's what happens. It dies down. The manager.
You're a suspect, dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I was. Lead. Here, this gets better. The manager calls me up. Nice woman. And she's like, I just want to tell you, I've spoken to the owner of this real estate agency. I know you would never do this. I know you. I wouldn't have hired you otherwise. Just want you to know we got your back. And I was like, thank you. Really? But like, I feel, you ever felt so guilty?
Like,
this might be Jewish
on.
Guilt. You ever feel like, this is how I feel sometimes. No, someone's house gets broken into and you're like, I know I wasn't the person, I wasn't there, but you're like, did I do it?
Oh yeah, I've felt that way
right?
a lot.
You're
yeah.
like, did I fucking, no. Nonetheless, you have to work at a real estate agent at the front desk, answer the phones, people walk in, you, mm-hmm. you get new business yeah. that way. I'm sitting there, it's a Friday night. You have to be there till 6 on certain nights. No one wants the Friday, but the new guy is there. And you lock up. I get a call from the chief of Princeton police. And he's like, Mr. Kunzman. And I go, yes.
And we found blood on the purse. And it matches the exact blood.
We found a pink boa.
In the house.
And he goes, I just want to ask you some questions. I'm following up. You met with two of our detectives. Yes, I did. They asked you some questions. Yes. We hear their demeanor might have been a bit harsh for someone who's coming in to answer questions. And I was like, I'm going to be honest with you. It really was. And he's like, well, we're just, you know, really, it's a small town. This thing doesn't happen very often. You happen to be there. So it's our job to put two and two together and to follow it up.
And sometimes we need to manipulate.
Pretty much. And he goes, do you think it had anything to do? He goes, we're worried about one of them. He's like, to be frank off the record, like, he are you Jewish? And I was like, yeah. He's like, may have had a little bit to do with it. We've had this before. And I was like, okay. And he's like, would you do me a favor? Would you be willing to come in so we could put this to closure? Would you be willing to come in and take a lie detector test?
Are you serious?
And I go, at this point, I'm freaking out. I'm new to this town. I'm
and
new to this
like,
thing.
What
and I go,
they frame
I, no, here's what I go. I go, I just want to clear my name.
You
I just
did not
want
say
it.
That.
Yes, I did. And I go, I just want to clear my name, sir. Yes, I'll come in. Now, I was supposed to take Kristen out for dinner that night. I go home. I'm so freaked out. I tell her what I'm. She's like, why are we in this town? What's going on? She's crying.
How much is in the purse?
A couple $100. Small town Princeton.
Going away, dude.
Yeah. Imagine if I was black. So what they would have done. So I go, dude, I don't know. I got to get a lawyer because this is now like crossed the path. I call my parents and they're like, what? Why didn't you tell us before? I go, Mom, you know lawyers. This is in like, you know, within half hour of my hometown, right? Yeah. So we know. I go, can I call like Mr. Cohen, you know, who's a family lawyer and stuff. And I call him on Friday night. And he's like, hey, Mark, I've spoken a long time. I fill him in. He's like, this seems very unorthodox. So what you do, you're not taking a lie detector test. What's the name of the guy and all this? I give him all this information. He's like, first thing Monday morning, I'm going to look into this. You're going to come and talk to me. I get in the car with Kristen. We go to get gas. And I go, Kristen, it's so weird. She's like, why would he ask you about, like, if you're Jewish? Why would he? Who takes a lie detector test for a purse? And I go, oh my. She goes, do you think this is Timmy? And I go, oh my God. It was my friend, my best friend, Tim. He had gotten someone, because I told him all what had happened.
Oh my God.
He had had his business partner in mortgages on a whim. Call me up. First he called me. He's like, dude, are you all right? And then had me going. He said he was crying because I took it hook, line, and sinker, dude. And I was so pissed. The next day, I was supposed to help him go into New York to help he and his now wife move out of their apartment.
Yeah.
Into the house that I had sold to them.
Yeah.
And he's like, so you're still going to come tomorrow? I was like, fuck. I was so livid. And then I was like, well, I don't want to screw your wife over. Yeah. She's an angel, sweetheart. And I was like, I may come, but I was like, you don't fucking look at me. You don't talk to her. You don't even think about it. And I was like, dude, I was so livid. My wife was so upset. My parents, because I had to call them, like, I just wanted to tell you. And I was like, we were worried sick. What? I go, it was Timmy. And she's like, Timmy, who she's known since he was five.
Yeah.
I was so pissed.
Talk to him for a while?
He went into my dad's office, where my mom was a nurse there as well. My sister was ran the office as well. He went in to apologize. And my mom took him into one of the rooms. I was like, Timmy, I've known you my whole life. Your whole life. I am shocked. I can't believe you would do this. I had to call Mr. Cohen and be like, just wanted to let you know it was a prank. He's like, what is wrong with you guys?
Yeah.
He's known it's a little too.
And she's like, listen, while I have you in here, let's check those reflexes.
But looking back on it, one, I played some bad trips on him, but it was so genius. We were just talking about it this summer. It really was. It was cruel. And unless you appreciate
cruel humor,
no one got hurt.
That's the best. I love pranks like that. All right, listen.
Anyway,
that's
what I want to say.
I want to do this China story, so let's go.
Do we really want to go into that?
Yes.
All right, I'll tell an abridged
version. Hold on a second. So everybody goes to grad school. Usually they take a year, they go to grad school. You did all this stuff. That's how we got to the real estate.
Yes, sir.
And then at 32, you went to grad school, and you took a grad school trip to China.
You have to take a trip abroad. It's part of it, just basically to get your money to spend it, right? You could talk all about the benefits of business school, which I'm sure there are for some people. But nonetheless, I chose to go to China.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't
Check
married yet.
Yeah.
I had no kids. I mean, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
I was just taking out more loans. I went and I'm like, dude, I'm going to.
How long did you go for?
The course was a week. I gave myself a week before and then a week after. It was in Shanghai, the course, at a university. Yeah. So I'm all researching, calling people, blah, blah, blah. First, I get on the plane, and I try and upgrade myself, and they're like, no. I'm like, all right. And the woman's like, listen, you're a nice guy. It's a long flight. You're going to be sitting next to a little kid. It's not a full flight. You either sit next to the guy or the attractive girl. And I was like,
attractive girl.
So we had like a 14-hour trip. I rip out like the New Yorkers. Her fiancé at the time was a DJ, had a DJ school and stuff. Mm-hmm. They took me under their wing. She worked at NYU.
In China, they took
me. In China, in Shanghai. Like, I had all these plans to go on my own.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, she was awesome. Showed me all Shanghai, which is a gorgeous city. Did the course. Saw the Olympic Stadium, all that stuff. Then we took an overnight train to Beijing. Spent a week there. You want to go to the wall, Tiananmen Square.
You with this couple?
No. Me with some of my classmates.
Gotcha.
So, our friend Stuart, his dad did business overseas, and he's like, this salary, you know, Shanzai fake thing there. And they'll ask you, like, you can go in any store. It's like fake Rolexes, all this. He's like, dude, forget all that. Get the high-end watches, the high-end knockoffs. My dad does business there. I had a Breitling that he got me. It was so good that I sent it to Breitling or something, and they fixed it for me.
Because they thought it was real.
They thought it was real. So he goes, you're going to put you in touch with this guy, all through email, Lynn the watchman.
How old was Lynn?
35.
Okay.
Looked like a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
You slap some rouge on him, I swear he was just this petite little guy.
Mm-hmm.
He comes.
This is in Beijing?
In Beijing. He comes to the Crown Royal, like the hotel we're staying in, downtown Beijing. And my friend Alex loves watches. He's a watch guy. I'm not really a watch guy, but mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, let's check it out. He comes, takes us to. Everyone drinks tea in China. I thought he was going to have like a suitcase, you know, in a trunk.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was
like, no, you come with me. You come to my apartment.
So he's already treating you with respect.
Such respect.
Okay, yeah.
Nicest guy. Got me out of a jam. He's got a whole apartment that he's selling illegally, high-end watches, Fendi bags. These are like...
And does he have like display cases?
Display cases.
So it looks like
glass.
A store, yeah.
It looks like a store. And my friend Alex is like a kid in a candy shop. He's taking way too long. I was like, oh, okay, I'll get a
how
a Patafeli.
For like a...
I got a Patafeli that's probably like a $12,000 watch. You know, I got it for $300. So where you would normally play like 80,
yeah,
these were high-end, but I mean, the thing still works.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you name Breitlings, all that. So I get watches for my wife, for my mom, my sisters. And then he's like, I like you. First, we had tea.
Of course
for like
you.
An hour.
Likes you.
We had tea for an hour before, and like my friend Sullivan, he just wants to skip the tea and go, but we had to be polite. We're there with his brother, his big, you know, big brother. Nonetheless, he's like, I should take you out tonight. I like you. We friends. I show you real Beijing. Now, we'd gone up before, and it's very touristy, the places, you know, the Americans would go. But so he's like, I take you real Beijing. Go back, change. I pick you up. So I grab, Alex is like, totally. Grab my other friend, Alex.
So, yeah, I mean, everyone can go to Beijing, but to have someone that lives there, that speaks the language, knows the culture, and can show you, like,
off the beaten path.
Yes.
That you couldn't find. There's a huge language barrier there. It's really tough. You just communicate in pictures at restaurants and stuff. When you ask for, like, a Coca-Cola, they bring you, like, chopsticks. It really
was. When my boy T.O. Double was working over here for that guy, Ned, there was a kid who was Korean that worked in the studio. And he would take us to Koreatown out to eat. We wouldn't even order a thing. He would order everything for us, and it was the best. Because, yeah. Like, I can't, you know, it takes a lot of courage to go into those environments.
Yeah. And this was.
And this is in L.A.
Yes. This was more foreign than any place. I've traveled, and I've. They're language barriers. This was insane. So we go to this club. So I grab my friend Pete, great guy, and he's like a younger, hipper guy. My friend Alex, my other friend Alex, and they're excited.
So it's four of you.
Four of us.
And then Lynn the Watchman.
Lynn the Watchman and his brother. We go to this club, and it's dark. It's awesome. There are big fruit plates, people smoking cigarettes. I mean, you think I smoked at the time. Forget that. Like chain smoking. Music playing. The only English, it was so loud, the only English I understood was, it was... Katy Perry was playing or something. That was it. I remember going like, dude, this is, it's English. Lovely. Like it was a hip club. Dark, light, glow sticks, all this stuff. Different levels. We're walking around. I just remember like these huge fruit plates.
How many white people there? Like is it
us.
Real Beijing? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Are you the only white people?
Only there? White people, okay, are yeah. There. So I see my friend Peter is leaving early in the morning. We're staying a couple days. We're going to go to some outskirt places. But he's leaving in the morning, and I got to make sure. I'm like, call him. I can't hear him. And we call, go into like the lobby. I'm like, dude, what time's your flight? He's like, it's at like 7 a.m. I'm like, okay, it's like 2 now. Well, you have time. And he's like, yeah, I got time. This girl walks by. Looks like Lucy Liu, who I got to thank for, mm-hmm. Right? She's just unbelievable. Still today.
Yes.
And she's wearing this flowing red dress, and she hears the talk. She's like, oh, you're American. And I was like, uh-huh. She's like, come dance. Now, we're drinking beers. We're drinking fancy drinks, all this. And we're all on the dance floor. People are flocking to us because we're Americans.
Yeah.
She comes up to me, and we're dancing as best as I can dance. And all of a sudden, this guy who looks like, remember Michael Chang?
Yeah,
tennis player?
Yeah.
Right? Short, stocky. Comes and he, oh, no. Tell me, like, this is my girl. Don't dance to that. I was like, all right, dude, I don't care. It's fine.
You know? Yeah.
So we keep dancing, drinking. Lynn the Watchman leaves with his brother.
Does he say goodbye or is he just...
Yes, he says goodbye. Okay. See you again, blah, blah. You know, you call me.
Did you have plans? Were you going to see him again on this trip?
No, but he was like, you want...
Like
it was just like
here,
next...
Yeah.
He was like... I think even sitting there, like, we go and I'm like, dude, we're staying. This is awesome. My friends were just drunk. All of a sudden, she comes up to me at the bar. We were about like to close out, and she hands me something written in Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. And I hold it up to the boys. I'm like, check it out, guys. I go, this is number for the girl. And I'm more flattered. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
I'm engaged. It's not going to happen, but it's flattering nonetheless. She's beautiful. So I... Go, there's another
it's
level.
It's part of the story, the experience, the trip.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you just enjoy it. So I go to get Peter, because we're leaving, and Peter's in the VIP area, and Peter can dance, like, and he's got these glow sticks, and he's just in it, right?
Yeah.
But he's in, and he's made his way into this VIP area, and I go by, and I go up steps, and I'm like, Peter, and he doesn't hear me because it's so loud, and I'm like, Peter. And what I quickly realize... Maybe I've even realized it more in hindsight, is I'm waving, like, come on, come on. Right next to him in a booth is Michael Chang, Lucy Liu, and another girl. And I see his eyes, like, that I'm motioning for her to come.
Yeah.
So I'm like, holy shit. I grab Peter. I'm like, we got to go. You know, we want to get home. He's in front of me. I'm going.
Who's in front of you, Peter?
Peter. I'm going down the steps, and I'm pulled from behind and just whacked, sucker punched.
What time is this? 4 a.m?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fall down.
On the stairs.
On the stairs. Fall down the stairs. I remember I was hammered.
Yeah.
And I've never been struck like that before, like sucker punched.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, falling. And then the chaos, security guards in, like, black outfits dragged this guy, the girls, myself, Peter. And I'm like, we're Americans, blah, blah, blah. Pull us into this back
room.
Is
Peter the one with the flight?
Yes.
Okay.
And then our two other friends see what's going on. They come. We're there. I look. I just bleep. My nose is like over here. My lips are all cut up. Just, I love this Ben Sherman shirt.
Yeah.
Loved it. Just wrecked.
No moss.
No moss, dude. That hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they take us all to the police station.
Okay.
We figure out Peter gets to go. He has a flight.
And is he like, how is he leaving that situation? Is he like, dude, I don't know what to...
That is a good question. I don't know how he got out of it, but no. My friends weren't detained. They just waited.
Sure,
I was
I'm
detained.
My friend, you know, he might be like, dude, I got to go. Or was, I don't
he
know.
Had to go. No, yeah. He's a good friend. Still a good friend.
It's not like a flight from New York to Boston.
No. You know it's like a 14-hour flight. Shame. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, or Beijing. So they weren't detained. I was detained. I'm thrown in a room. Not bars and stuff. Just thrown in a room with
how
no windows. Nothing.
Because you're wasted.
Hammered. Yeah. The pain does not hit me. The adrenaline is going so much. I don't know what's going on. I'm in a foreign country.
They take you in cop cars?
A big cop van.
Lights or no?
Oh, yeah. He was in a different van. I'm not in pain. That wasn't my thought. I'm freaked out because I'm in a foreign country. I fucked up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what am I going to tell my wife? I mean, what's going to happen? What happens now is
but
what
I'm
saying.
But at least you don't have to go home yet, right? I mean, you have like, when is your return flight? For how many more days?
Like 3 days later.
Okay, 3 days.
We were supposed to go to like the bronze statues, those famous bronze statues in like a town over. I kind of wrecked the trip for my boys. But we go. It's like 4 or 5 in the morning. I'm sitting there. I don't know what's going on. Eventually, they let my friends go. They call Lynn. Lynn comes.
Who gives Lynn the number? Oh, your boys give them.
Alex somehow figured out from my wall, like,
yeah.
We were able to talk, like, get Lynn here. Because there's no, we don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
They don't speak English.
No.
Lynn comes, talks, and he comes and he's like, dude, he says that you hit him first.
Okay. And you're like, is Timmy behind this?
And it's like, he wants to file charges against you. Mm-hmm. For assaulting him, and he was just defending himself. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? But let my friends go. They take me to a hospital, a police hospital.
Okay.
Where they're like, yeah, your nose is broken. Your lips. I'm like, call my dad. You gotta call my dad. Yeah. Whatever time it was there, I'm like, I just wanna let you know what happened. I'm like, should I let them set my nose? He's like, no, absolutely not. He's like, when you come home, we'll figure that out. But he's like, sew up the stitches. I had like 10 stitches in here.
Yeah.
In my mouth. So we go back to the hospital.
Okay.
To the police station. We're waiting. Now I'm waiting in the lobby. I see this guy there and another woman. And they're just kind of looking at me. The guy who hit me is nowhere to be found. Haven't seen him the whole time after this.
Is he in custody as well?
He's in custody as well. But Lynn soon.
Are you a suspect?
Yeah. Well, I am a suspect.
Yeah. Again.
That I started this. And that it's going to be resolved. I wasn't worried I was going to jail. I just didn't know when I was going to get to leave, right?
I don't know. I don't know what I'd be if I you know you
out.
See Locked Up Abroad or people talk about that show, and you're just like, can you imagine being in China?
Yeah. So I see this guy.
Rights aren't something they give away easily.
I mean, Jay, I'm there for it's like midday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there for a long time, and I see some guy. He looked like Bjorn Borg. He's from Sweden. I keep bringing these tennis references. And he's there because someone took his bag, a cab driver. And he's telling me, he's like, dude, let me tell you what's up. And during this time, he's like, they're going to mess with you here. He's like, they're looking for some sort of bribe.
They're looking for you to bribe.
For me to pay.
Yeah.
Them, like the police. This is why this is going on. He's like, you didn't hit the guy? I'm like, no. Then Lynn comes. And he's like, dude, they saw the videotape. Which I wish I got to see.
Wait, I remember you telling me like they had taken your paperwork and then you were like, hey, what's going on with them? Like,
Oh, we lost. Well, no, I'll get to that. So what happens is Lynn goes, here's the deal in his broken English, you know. He's like, they saw the tape. He hit you. No good. Big trouble. You can't hit an American there. Big deal. He's going to jail.
You go to jail for hitting an American?
Yeah. For assaulting.
And wasn't he military?
He was. in the military, so I came out. So what that means in terms of military, I don't know, but he served in the Army, National
and
Army.
You can go to jail for hitting an American.
Yeah, for assaulting an American like that, beating the hell out of him. I think it was going to be for like 2 years. This is what they're saying. So this guy who's looking at me, turns out that's his best friend and Michael Chang's wife. So he was out at the bar with his gumad.
Oh.
So they say to me.
So his wife and his best friend are at the police station waiting, and they're eyeing you down because they know who you are.
Yeah. And they're waiting, too, to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt the look. So they go, now the police want you to go get x-rayed to know what it is.
The extent.
We go to the hospital. I mean, these hospitals, there's like motorcycles in there. There's IV bags, like a hammer to it in the lobby. We cut the line. There's prisoners standing in their jumpsuits with cops there. I get to jump the whole line. I feel awful. There's like a girl there with, I remember she had like some sort of surgery on her skull. And they're letting me jump to get an x-ray. Yeah. But it's not like an x-ray machine you know of and I know of in our lives. It's like they're just doing it without any vest.
No,
I'm like, can we put something on me?
First of all, everybody knows that thing doesn't do anything.
Whatever, I was scared anyway. For my boys. Nonetheless, so that the results come to show that my nose is broken. I'm sitting there for another hour. I'm like, Lynn, what's going on? He's like, not good. They lost the paperwork, like the x-rays. And I go, how? It went. And this is where like the influence of the guy and the police.
What guy?
The China, Michael Chang. Yeah. Somehow where they lost it. Okay. We got to go to another hospital. Okay. Like a doctor to check me out, a real physician.
What time are we at now?
5 o'clock.
In the afternoon?
In the afternoon.
Wow.
I'm still wearing the same bloody shirt.
Yeah, of course.
I smoke more cigarettes than that.
And are the police escorting you around through the building? Okay.
Oh, yeah. In the back of this van. So, horrible drivers. So these particular people were horrible drivers. So we get to the hospital, and the guy, the police doctor looks, and he's like, tells Lynn, like, nose isn't broken. And Lynn's like, it's fucking broken, because they don't have the x-rays.
Yeah.
So Lynn goes, he gets the x-rays. Whatever this is, now they need my passport. My passport is back with my friends in the room. We go to the room. This whole thing, now it's like 7, 8 at night. And this guy, his friend, and the wife approaches me in broken English and says, through Lynn, like, if I will, their friend's going to go to jail. Yeah. They're very sorry. If I help get them out, him out, they'll pay me. And this guy who looked like Bjorn Borg was like, had told me, he's like, this is going to happen. When they find out what really happened, they're going to want to bribe you. He was right. He's like, what's your time and energy worth, dude?
So what do you mean?
And I go, what
but
should I ask for?
They're bribing you at that point. They're making a deal.
They're making a deal. So
you can
I will
do
help.
That? You could drop the charges and they can just pay you?
You can agree to not to drop the charges in exchange for X amount restitution. And he's like, I go, what should I ask for? He's like, 10 grand, dude.
Who said that? Bjorn?
Bjorn. And I was like, all right. So they're like, how much? Lynn's like, how much? And I go, $10,000 US.
Your nose is still broken.
Still
you're
broken,
bloodied.
Broken.
You're
it's now that it's so many, dude. That, matter of fact, he went and got them for me. Like when Lynn said I was like out, and he went.
Who,
this,
Bjorn?
No, the best friend.
Oh,
came
the
back.
Best friend.
What do you want? So nonetheless, I finally, now when I went back to get the passport, I was able to change.
Mm-hmm.
This was great, right? I was able to and look at myself. I'm like, dude, I'm fucked. This nose was over here. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, I sent you a picture of it.
I mean, it's still not great.
It's not great now. No, they didn't do a good job setting it. Nonetheless, we go to the hotel. I sleep, call my wife, tell her what happened, see my friends. And Lynn's like, you stay at hotel. I will figure this out for you. Lynn calls him next morning. He's like, they're coming to the hotel to meet with you.
Who?
The best friend and the wife.
Okay.
They come. They bring a translator. She comes. I bring my friend, one of my friend, Alex, not the guy who came with us to the watch, the other guy. He's very lawyerly, like very big in business, wears a blazer all the time, looks legit. I'm like, you come down with me. Act like you're a lawyer. So we're negotiating through this translator. Okay. It would be $10,000, but they want my passport to hold on to.
Do less?
No, this was, he was adamant.
Sure.
Yeah. And he's like, I want the passport. So you can't leave before we go to the high courts to sign. I'm like, I'm not giving you my passport. We go through this whole thing. I remember them counting the money counting because they gave it to me in yuan or whatever the currency is, yen. And I just remember going.
Yeah.
We go with this girl to the court.
So they just had 10 grand.
Oh, they came prepared. This was the next day.
Yeah.
So this translator who works in business a lot was telling me, and I go by myself. And Lynn later was furious that I left without him there. And he's like, you don't know who these people are. We go to the police station. They have an envelope full of this pink money. The wife goes to give it to the policeman to get her husband out that we could sign. Comes out without the money, speaks in Mandarin. He's gone. Like, he says, no. And the money's gone. She's bursting.
Translator, so that's not your 10 grand. That
nope.
was some other
that was
fee.
X amount of money to get the husband to come. And the girl explains to me, this happens all the time in China. People just disappear. You pay. You raise money as a family. And then they take the money and that's it. And maybe you'll see him. Maybe you won't. Damn. So I'm like, what am I doing here? Right? I called the embassy. They're like, well, we can't really do anything for you. But you, now you can just go. But I was like, no, I'm not leaving without this.
Yeah.
Right? This 10K, is my money. Is this time is worth it. So we go. They take me to KFC, which is huge there. And they're eating chicken. And so then they come back to the hotel. Now
the wife and the best friend.
Wife and the best friend. Lynn is now at the hotel, and he's furious with me for having left the whole day with him. It took a long time to do this. And, and my friends are there. And I'm like, let's have a drink. Now, Lynn's friend, Donnie.
Were you guys having fun at any point, or were you just dead serious the whole time? I mean,
I was laughing at the absurdity, but I was also really terrified. Like, what am I doing here? How am I going to explain this? I'm hurt.
Yeah.
So it's easy when you're not hurt, right?
Well,
so,
no, I don't know if it'd be easy.
So Lynn, the watchman, has a friend named Donnie, who's there with his brother.
Donnie, you are out of your element.
Donnie sits down. And Donnie had, I'd seen him at the police station when I was there. I didn't know who he was. Lynn was telling me Donnie is, you know, good. Detective, he's infiltrated, he's talking to people. Donnie comes and he's talking to the best friend and the wife and some other people, and he comes, sits down, and he goes, you a friend, Lynn? You are my friend. And I was like, okay, do you want a drink, Donnie? He's like, no. And he takes my hand and puts it here, and I'm like, what's, I'll let him take my hand.
I know.
And he's got a gun there. He's
a
like,
gun.
We are friends. You can't have guns in China. I was like, who are these people? So
you're around with a counterfeit watch guy and his gun-carrying friend.
Yeah. So we go for Peking duck. Lynn's like, I must go with Donnie. And the deal is they couldn't have my passport. But this guy, the best friend, was going to be with us.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't bail until the next day when we would go to the high courts. Okay. So I'm like,
so you went to Peking duck with the best friend?
No, with my three friends.
Oh, okay.
Well, two of them, because Peter are gone. I go, let me take you guys. I feel so horrible. I've ruined your day. Let me take you for the best Peking duck you've ever had. Because we'd gone there before. It's unbelievable. It's a huge meal. And it's just the best. And this guy comes with us. So we're sitting there having this meal, trying to make the most of it, as this guy's here. And he's friendly enough. I love America. You know?
The best friend.
Yeah. He basically said, I'm like, we're not paying for your meal, dude. He picked up the whole meal. Very nice. We come back. We see guys, like big dudes, just kind of walking around. And I'm talking to the guy in the front desk. My friend Alex is very street smart from LA. He was like, do these guys are with the best friend?
Yeah.
They're watching you. And I was like, get the hell out of here. Now, this best friend came into my room. He's like, I must stay. I was like, all right, dude. I go, I'm calling my wife, and I didn't want to tell her. She's like, everything all right? I was like, yeah. This will be over soon. She's like, why are you being so cagey? I'm like, I'm just tired.
Is this past your 3 days yet or no? Are you still have your normal flight?
It's the second day.
Gotcha.
So he's talking to me. He's like, I love America. He's watching this movie about, he's like, Germans, World War II. Just weird stuff. And I'm like,
in your room?
In my room. I go, why am I letting this guy in this? What is this worth it? So all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. I'm like, oh. I answer the door. It's these big thugs, three of them. I slam the door. What the hell? I go, who are these people? What are they doing? I call my friend Alex. I was like, dude, these people, we got to call security. He's like three doors down. He comes screaming out. I heard him. He's like, who the fuck are you? Get the hell out of here. Chases them away, comes in, takes this guy, grabs him out of the room. He's
Do
like,
you know who those guys were?
They were his friends, making sure, they didn't mean any harm, but they're big.
Yeah.
Big Chinese dudes. I'm freaked out. So I'm like, he's like, I'm sorry. They were just checking. I go, dude, you can't stay in the room. Get out of here. I'll see you tomorrow morning when they all come in the translator and we'll have breakfast and we're going to the court and get the hell out of my way. So I told my friends, I'm like, here's the deal. We're getting a new hotel because Lynn had said you must move hotels. So I'm going to leave. Here's all my baggage. We're going to go to this court in the outskirts of Beijing where you really see like kids pooping in the street and no cars and wagons. It's clearly made its way back. It used to be that way all the time.
Yeah.
kids like with the buttons on the back, and they, we go. It. I'm sitting there for like 3 hours. It's so hot.
With you?
No, no.
Who are you with?
My the best friend, the guy. I'm in his car.
Just you and him.
And the translator.
And what about Alex and Alex?
No, I told them check out and go to this new hotel.
Gotcha.
So we go. We're sitting there, and I just remember they were trying to be so nice to me, and I was my face was so swollen, and I had these ice cream bars, and I was like, oh, that looks good. I must have had a dozen of these ice cream bars because it was so soothing, and they saw that I liked it. They just kept bringing. We finally go in. I'm with my translator in this court. Like in this room.
I have diabetes. The sugar from the ice cream.
Basically, I wrote down, I was like, you read me every word in this. Like the date. She read it twice. That I agree to not press charges in exchange for this amount of money, $10,000, that I will, you know, not press and agree. Like, so I'm like, read it again. What am I agreeing to? What am I agreeing to? We sign it. And this best friend, I wish I remembered his name.
Yeah, that's scary, dude.
It was weird. Oh, and
especially when you,
take red ink, you take your fingerprints and do it red ink. It used to be like a wet ink and you put it on there.
Yeah.
It used to be like, I guess you would do it in blood. So that's now the equivalent. So
the
we're
same
in
blood that was on that CD
could be.
Changer.
Nonetheless, point is, he's like, oh, you want to ride back? And I was like, dude, fuck you. You go your way. My translator and I are staying here and I'll never see you again. He's like, I come to the States. I see. I go, you will never see me again.
Oh, you told him.
Yeah, I'm like, goodbye. We don't need a ride from you. We're going. Me and the translator.
Oh, okay.
She was there on this last day. I wouldn't have gone otherwise.
Yeah.
But she was legit, right? So I go back to the new hotel, and I feel so bad because they've missed now 2 days of their trip.
Yeah.
And I'm like, boys, let's go buy some watches because the other Alex hadn't been there.
Totally.
So we go to Lynn's. He has someone come as money changer to give me dollars for that. And I'm like, maybe this is a whole scam, the whole thing. Maybe that's what this whole thing is. But no, legit, I offered to, I'm like, dude, can you please take half of this? He's like, no, you're a friend. But my friends, I was like, dude, watches on Mark.
Yeah.
Buy some watches for your wife. Buy some, you know, bought it. We went out to eat. Had a
Lynn
and his brother had a great picture of it. I was just eating on this rooftop, stuffed it in my bag in little places because you can't travel with like $9,000. It looks sketchy. Bought my nieces like a bunch of stuff, you know, robes and things, and flew home.
You went home with $9,000 and a broken.
Yeah, help pay for my wedding.
God, that's unbelievable.
That was a long story, Jay.
I love that story. And who reset your nose? Your dad?
His partner.
Yeah. What can you do?
You can't make beauty out of that. We've gone a long time.
This is a beauty, dude. I love you to death. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for having me.
Trapper Keeper Confessions.
The Trapper Keeper Confessions at Trapper Keeper Confessions on
we'll tag
Twitter.
It in the post.
Yes, please listen, review, and enjoy my bad poetry.
Well, rate it, subscribe to it, rate it, review it.
Yeah, I'm so new at this.
This always helps. So subscribe to it, rate it, review it.
I can't thank you for having me.
You're a legend, bro. The K-Man.
Jay Larson.
Love you, buddy.
Love you, too.
That's it. That's the second app. That's the second half of the special with the K-Man. I love you guys. See you on Thursday for a new episode of The Throughline.